just remain standing, if you will, and turn to Zechariah chapter number 13. Zechariah chapter number 13, where we've been the last two Sundays. This will be in the third Sunday as we look at this text. I love that old song, "The Old Rugged Cross." Amen. Thank God for the truth of it. So much truth in that particular song. But I'm glad Jesus took that cross for me. Amen. And there He suffered, bled, and died. And as the song said, to pardon and to sanctify me. Not just to keep me out of hell, but to keep me out of sin. Amen. And I'm glad when God saves a person, He changes that person. Amen. Gives them a new life and a life worth living. And I am grateful and thankful unto the Lord for that. Amen. Zechariah chapter 13, verse number 7 is the text we're reading and looking at again this morning by the help of the Lord. Zechariah chapter number 13, verse number 7. Am I on, brother? Okay, yeah, I hear it. All right. I didn't for a minute. Okay. Verse number 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Brother Hall if He will lead us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning, Lord, for the cross.
Thank You, Lord Jesus. Yes.
Thank You, Lord, for the supreme sacrifice.
Yes. Thank You, Jesus. Yes, thank You, Lord.
Thank You for the mercy. Amen. So,
yes.
Goodness to us. Bless the pastor.
Help us, Lord.
Help those who are sick this morning. Help them in their bodies, we pray. Save sinners, Lord, who have been in this long time, God.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Excuse me. We began looking at this verse or this text a couple of Sundays ago and tried to place it within the context of the book and of the chapter. We looked at the entire book and looked at the prophet Zechariah. We looked at the period of Zechariah. And then we looked at the prophecy of Zechariah, some of the things that he had to say concerning Israel. His prophecy is to the nation of Israel. And yet he has much to say about the Messiah, because you see, salvation came to the Jews first. Amen. The Jews were looking for the Messiah. He was promised unto them. And I'm glad he didn't just stay with them, but I'm glad he's not just a savior of one nation, but he's the savior of whosoever will. Amen. Of all nations, not just one group of people, not just Jewish people, but Gentiles as well can be included in that salvation promise. And I am so glad and thankful that that is the truth. But we looked at the entire book and saw some of the prophecies, particularly about Christ's crucifixion. And I was amazed at how many of the prophecies are found right in Zechariah and mentioned specifically about Him, mentioning about the crucifixion of our Lord. And I wanted to bring into view, as we looked at that, some of the offices and the individuals that are related to in the prophecy. Now let me just look at the verse real quickly. And I did that last Sunday, I think, looked at the verse, gave you a little brief overview of the verse, and then mentioned to you something about Jesus being the shepherd. And I'll say some more about that this morning by the help of the Lord. But first of all, I want you to notice that there is, in verse number 7, there is a solemn call goes forth. There is a summons that is given for God's vengeance to sleep no longer. For God's vengeance to be awakened. Amen. And that the vindictive justice of God be on the alert, gather its forces, and march in battle array. Look at verse number 7. Awake, O sword. That sword's dealing with the justice of God and the judgment of God. The vengeance in judgment and the vindictive justice of God in that phrase, awake, O sword. Then I thought about the party that this sword is awakened against. This dreadful battle is announced. This terrible sword is drawn from its scabbard and is about to be brandished against the enemy and against the victim. And we would immediately think the victim is the sinner. But it's not the sinner, it's the shepherd. That's what he said in verse number 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. And so we see that he's not going to smite the sheep. He's not going to smite the sinner, but he's going to smite the shepherd in the place of them. Thank God for that. Then we notice not only the solemn call and the summons, we notice not only the subject, but we notice who it is that gives this summons. And he says it is, thus saith the Lord of hosts. None other than God himself who has been wronged. God himself who has been sinned against. Amen. When the very first sin that ever took place, when Adam partook of the fruit that was not his to partake of, God said, God put Adam on a planet, nobody else there. Now, Adam didn't have to worry about somebody getting his good stuff. There's nobody else there, just Adam and Eve. And God said, you can eat of any of the trees of the fruit of the garden except one. And that very one is the one Adam wanted. In other words, Adam disrespected God. Adam sinned against God. Adam stole from God that which was rightfully God's. God had the right to say that you can have or can't have. And Adam sinned against God. Can I say to you, at every sin we commit, no matter what it is, whether it's a sin, you may steal something from Kroger's and you've sinned against Kroger, but you've actually sinned against God because it all belongs to God. And God's the one that made the law, and God's the one that said, thou shalt not steal. Amen. And we can name a number of sins. Every sin that is committed is a sin against a holy God. And so God has the right to be angry. And God has the right to send forth His judgment. Then notice, last of all in this verse, the results of when that sword is brandished and that sword is used to smite the shepherd. The last phrase says, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. The result of the shepherd being smitten is that the sheep are scattered. Now, in my sermon last week, I looked at Jesus, the shepherd, and we looked at the Old Testament scriptures that deal with our Lord being a shepherd. I didn't look at all of them, but many of them. And we looked at many of the New Testament scriptures that deal with Jesus being a shepherd. And I concluded my message last Sunday morning with the thought of the job of a shepherd. What exactly was the job? We looked at the accountability that our Lord has for the sheep. We look at His care for the sheep and His provision for the sheep. Now, I'd like to move on from that. I'd like to look at one more point about the shepherd this morning and then come back tonight and look at another angle. But I want to think of not only Jesus as the shepherd and the job of the shepherd, but I want us to notice Jehovah's shepherd. God said, this is my shepherd. You see that in verse 7? Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. The most commonly quoted scripture in the Bible about the shepherd, probably the most well-known scripture, is Psalm 23. Amen. And by the way, I'm amazed at people that want to live their life listening to NIVs and live their life listening to New King James and live their life listening to all these other versions, but when they die, they want Psalm 23 read, and it's always King James Bible. Amen. Amen. If it's good enough to die by, it's good enough to live with. Amen. Amen. And if it's good enough to live with, it'll do to die by. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad that Psalm 23 is well known, but that Psalm 23 says the Lord is my shepherd. Not talking to God's shepherd, it's talking about my, the sheep. He's dealing with the fact that the Lord belongs to me. The light there is seen that Jesus Christ is the great possession of the sheep. He is my shepherd. As the Shunammite woman said, He is my beloved. My beloved is mine. I am His and He is mine. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. Amen. In other words, all the little lambs of God belong to the care of the great shepherd and have a reason to rejoice that we belong to Him and not another. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that the Lord is my shepherd. He is not going to leave us with any need. Amen. When we say that the Lord is our shepherd, that settles all of our questions. That settles all of our anxieties. That settles all of our fears. So long as the Lord is my shepherd, come what may, it'll be all right. Amen. And it's exactly as the song that Miss Elizabeth sang, and I'm glad that she did sing that song this morning, just exactly as that song said, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to know, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to know and worry about what's down the road. All I need to do is hear the shepherd's voice. It'll be all right as long as he's leading me. Amen. Amen. The sheep can say, the Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing else that we could want. He supplies all our needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. Amen. He is responsible and gives us the desires of our heart. Amen. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Jesus does that. In other words, He takes full responsibility for His sheep, and He takes very good care of His sheep. Amen. Amen. He takes very good care of all of His sheep. But here in our text, it's not talking about the shepherd being the possession of the sheep. But it's talking about He's the possession of the sovereign. Amen. He is God's very own shepherd. My shepherd. And that's what I want to deal with this morning. This is denoting the fact that Jesus Christ was specifically chosen and appointed by Jehovah God Himself to this job of being the Good Shepherd. Amen. God chose Him. Just as surely as our father Abraham said to Isaac his son, as they're headed up the mountain in Genesis 22, and they're getting ready to go up there to offer sacrifice to God. God has told Abraham to offer Isaac. Isaac doesn't know that. Isaac sees the wood. Isaac sees the fire. Isaac knows that they're going up there to offer sacrifice. And he says, where is the lamb? Abraham said, God shall provide Himself a lamb. Amen. But just as surely as God had provided Himself a lamb, God had provided Himself a shepherd for every little lamb, praise God, that would ever come into this world. Amen. God is so intricately involved in the salvation process and the redemption process that He has seen on every angle. It is hard to divide and divine what is man's responsibility away from God's omnipotent power and goodness and grace involved in salvation. Amen. God is both the high priest and the offering that is offered by the high priest for our sins. He is all in all and encompasses it all. Amen. He is so intricately involved. Thank God He is. Turn with me to Psalm chapter number 80. Psalm chapter 80 is a text that I don't think that we looked at last week, dealing with Jesus being our shepherd, or God giving a shepherd to Israel. He's the shepherd of Israel, it says here in this scripture reference. And God chose him for that. Psalm 80 verse number 1. Excuse me, Psalm 80 verse number 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Here's some people calling on God, and here's what they call God. O shepherd of Israel. You say, how do you know that's God? Because He dwells between the cherubim. He dwells in that holy place. This is saying that Jesus Christ is nothing less than the personification of the Shekinah glory of God. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only one that can offer salvation. And they're praying for salvation. They're praying for deliverance. They're saying, come and save us. You know what the good shepherd did? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. And so I notice in this scripture that the shepherd of Israel is more than a man. He is God Himself. He is seen as deity. And He tends to them like a flock. That's what it says in verse number 1. That He deals with them, leadeth Joseph like a flock. Amen. And this is an absolute reference to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. And they're asking for Him to save. Turn to Ezekiel chapter number 24, or 34, Ezekiel 34. And we did look at this last week, but I want to show you a point in it that I didn't mention last week. Ezekiel 34, verse number 23 is the only verse that I read there. I believe that Jesus Christ is considered the shepherd of the sheep because God the Father chose him for that position. God chose him as the shepherd. That's why he could say, he is my shepherd. He's the shepherd of my choice. That's what God is saying. Amen. He's the chosen one, the appointed one, the anointed one. Amen. He is God's shepherd. Look at verse number 23 of Ezekiel chapter number 34. The Bible says, and I underline that, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Amen. God set up one shepherd over the house of Israel. By the way, there's only one shepherd that can lead you to the promised land. There's only one shepherd that can lead you to life everlasting. His name is not Muhammad. Amen. Amen. His name is not some man. We can name a thousand names. Charles Taz Russell, Joseph Smith. We could go on and on and on. His name is not the Baptist preacher. His name is Jesus Christ. There's only one shepherd. There's only one way to glory. Amen. God said, I will set up one shepherd. Who set Jesus in that position? God did. Amen. God chose Jesus as the shepherd over Israel. He talks about even my servant David. Jesus was of the lineage and the house of David. Amen. Now turn to John chapter number 6. And look at this verse with me. John chapter 6. These are words of our Lord himself. And I believe that he is implying and stating very emphatically that God has appointed him, approved of him in this position as shepherd. John chapter 6 and verse number 27 is the verse I'm looking at. Jesus is rebuking this crowd that's following him because they're not following him in the way that's right. They're following him for what they can get to feed their belly because he fed the multitudes. But look at verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him, there's my phrase, for him hath God the Father sealed. God appointed and anointed one shepherd, and that shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn to chapter 10. You're in the book of John, chapter number 10. John gives this very plainly. John chapter 10 and verses 25. There's a lot in verse 10, chapter 10. But verse 25 down through verse 29. John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name. My Father's name deals with I'm doing it in His authority. God has given him the authority to do these works, all right? They bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Look at verse 29. My Father, underline this phrase, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father gave me these sheep, is what he's saying. God appointed Jesus in the position of this shepherd to be the good shepherd. Turn to John chapter 17 and verse number 6. Another phrase twice. In one verse, our Lord mentions that God gave these sheep unto him. John 17, that great high priestly prayer Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane as he headed towards Calvary. Verse number 6, he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men, here's the phrase, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou, there's the phrase again, gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Amen. I believe these statements in John 10:29, and John 17:6, I believe they carry a double meaning. Thou gavest them me. I believe that it does mean that God the Father has given the sheep to Christ. But it also means that God the Father has given Christ to the sheep. Amen. I'm thankful that God is involved in appointing and giving, approving of one shepherd. Jesus Christ is Jehovah's shepherd. Amen. Now, some religions don't like that. Some people don't like that. By the way, they say, you're too narrow-minded. Well, I'm like one fellow said, just this narrow. Just as narrow as the King James Bible, that's how narrow we'll have to be. Amen. Yeah. Amen. It's not the Bible plus somebody else's writings. It's just the Bible, period. Amen. Amen. The Word of God is our soul, S-O-L-E, authority. The only authority that we have, we don't go by what the Pope say, what the Fathers say, what tradition says. We go by what God says in the King James Bible. Amen. So God has appointed a shepherd. I want to say four things about that. Jesus, number one, is God's appointed shepherd. These all have many things in common. Let's look back through the Scriptures again at Isaiah chapter number 42. If you'll turn back there, Isaiah chapter 42 and verses 1 through 4 are what I'm going to read. Now, by the way, one of the reasons I do this, not just to get you turning your Bible, but to get you to see that what I'm preaching is not my opinion, it's King James Bible. Amen. It's not just something that I've dreamed up or somebody else has dreamed up. We're reading the Bible and getting these thoughts and phrases right out of the Bible. Now, I'm saying Jesus Christ is Jehovah's shepherd. Amen. He's Jehovah's shepherd, the one chosen by God himself. He's God's appointed shepherd. Look at verse number 1 of Isaiah 42. Verse number 1. Behold my servant, underline this, whom I uphold, mine elect. I underlined all those words. Behold my servant, whom I behold, mine elect. In whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Amen. And so that phrase, God said, mine elect, deals with the fact that God appointed this man there. God put him there. It was not something that he strived to or that he climbed up to. God appointed him to that position because God chose him for that position. Amen. Now, that scripture is found in its fulfillment in the book of Matthew, chapter number 12. Turn there, if you will, as our Lord quotes some scripture from Isaiah the prophet. And it is this very text. Matthew chapter number 12. I'm saying Jesus is God's appointed shepherd. Let me say that in this text, we see that he's not only appointed, he's God's authorized shepherd. Amen. Amen. Matthew 12, verse number 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Praise God. He included us in that promise. Amen. And in that prophecy. But Jesus uses the phrase there. Not only is he God's elect, but he says it in John 12 and verse number 18. I'm sorry, Matthew 12, 18. Behold my servant whom I have chosen. He is God's appointed and he is God's authorized shepherd. Amen. This is the New Testament fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus Christ has been the chosen one, authorized of God. There were false shepherds. Zechariah prophesied of that, by the way, that they would reject the good shepherd and they would go for a foolish shepherd. And we also know there are false shepherds. Our Lord talked about those that are hirelings. He said, all that came before me were hirelings. He said, they were thieves and robbers. Everybody that tried to come in a different way were thieves and robbers. And he's dealing with false Christs, false messiahs, false shepherds that would come and lead people astray. But Jesus is the only appointed and the only authorized shepherd by Jehovah. Amen. Now, if you're in Matthew 12, I want to look at those verses we just read, verse 17 through 21. I want to point out also, Jesus is God's accepted shepherd. There's a phrase there in verse number 18. Behold my servant, not only whom I have chosen, but look at this phrase, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. God is pleased with His choice of Jesus Christ as the shepherd of the sheep. Amen. We know that's found again in Matthew 3, and we can find it in all the Gospels as it is recorded at the baptism of our Lord when Jesus came up out of the water, by the way, beginning His earthly ministry, beginning it with baptism, and He comes forth walking in that ministry, and as soon as He comes up out of the water, the dove in the form, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and lighted upon our Lord. The Bible said, and a voice from heaven said, behold, this is my beloved Son. You know what He said? I have accepted Him. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's the only one that you can follow and believe in for heaven. Amen. In Matthew chapter 17, you don't have to turn that. Well, you can. We're right in 12. Let's just turn Matthew 17. We've got the Mount of Transfiguration experience that Brother Wells preached on a few weeks ago, and they're on that mountain seeing the transfiguration of our Lord, the glorification of our Lord. Look at verse number 5. While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him. Amen. Jesus is the accepted shepherd. Now here, you say, why is all that important? Because if you want to be accepted by God, or if I want to be accepted by God, we'll have to be accepted in the Beloved. Because He has accepted Him, He will accept us in His name. He will accept us in His place. Thank God. Jesus is God's appointed shepherd. Jesus is God's authorized shepherd. Jesus is God's accepted shepherd. And last of all, Jesus is God's afflicted shepherd. Our text said, smite the shepherd. He's going to be smitten. Turn to John chapter number 10. We were there earlier in verse 25. We're going to look at verse 15 this time. John chapter 10 and verse number 15. Our Lord laying out His title of being the good shepherd. And He says there, He talks much about His death. John 10, verse 15, I'll read through verse 18. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. You see that? The shepherd is going to be afflicted for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. By the way, that's what God said. He's going to appoint one shepherd. Amen. Verse number 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. Jesus Christ is God's afflicted shepherd. Amen. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. You know these, I'm sure. You know these verses well. Isaiah 53. These verses and others deal with the aspect of Jesus Christ being the good shepherd, being that He lays down His life for the sheep. But you notice that He said there in John 10, He said, this commandment have I received from my Father. God purposed it that way. That was God's plan. It was not that Jesus came to rescue the sheep and realized that the only way to rescue them is that He die for them. No. It was not that Jesus came with a plan for their salvation, and since Israel rejected their Messiah, then He had to die. No, it was not that. It was the plan all along. He had been commanded by God. The shepherd was going to be smitten for the sheep. Amen. It was God's plan all along. Isaiah 53 records that. Verse number 4 and verse number 5. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God. Amen. Smitten of God and afflicted. I'm saying he's God's afflicted shepherd. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. God appointed a shepherd. God authorized a shepherd. God accepted a shepherd. But that shepherd had to be afflicted. Look at verse number 10. Isaiah 53, verse number 10. I've underlined this phrase. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It pleased the Lord to smite the shepherd. Now I'm back to my text in Zechariah 13 and verse 7. He says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. Amen. He's not just my shepherd. He's Jehovah's shepherd. God chose him. Now, I'm closing with this conclusion. I want you to think about this thing about the shepherd. The shepherd in biblical days was known, every shepherd was known that he might have to put his life in danger to protect the sheep. If a lion or a bear or a wolf or a thief were to come to capture or devour or tear one of the sheep, that shepherd was to stand up against them. If he was not a hireling, he was to love the sheep. He loved the sheep, but he loved his master. He loved the one that appointed him as a shepherd. He loved the one that had anointed him as the shepherd. He loved the one that had accepted and approved him as the shepherd. And so not just for love for the sheep. Jesus didn't just go to Calvary because he loved sinners. Jesus went to Calvary because he loved God in heaven. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. Jesus went to Calvary fulfilling God's law, fulfilling God's command, because love for the Father, God went to Calvary. Amen. Now I'm glad he did love the sheep. But that shepherd would stand up to ward off the enemy, whether, as I said, whether it be a wolf or a lion or a bear or some other vile animal, or even thieves that would come in and try to take those sheep and tear those sheep. That shepherd would risk his life. Jesus did more than that. He stood against a lion. He stood against a dragon. He stood against Satan. He stood against mankind. And he not only risked his life, he gave his life that we might be protected and that we might be saved. Amen. But that shepherd, there's another time that shepherd would lay his life on the line. That shepherd, when the sheep would wander away, when the sheep would get lost out in the wilderness somewhere, that shepherd would risk his life climbing those rocky crags and those steep cliffs. He would risk his life going through the deep torrents and the raging waters. He would risk his life going out into the darkness of the wilderness that he might rescue the sheep, that he might find the sheep, amen, that he might save that sheep from danger. That shepherd would risk his life. Can I say to you that you and I were out yonder on the cliffs of sin, amen, we had fallen over the edge and we were headed for the abyss. We were sinking deep in sin and the raging torrent had captured our soul and was carrying us away. But thank God, our Lord, our Savior, our shepherd, praise God, waded out in the darkness and saved us by his marvelous grace. He didn't just risk his life. He laid his life down that we might be saved. All I can say is what a Savior. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and they come with an invitation. I want to say to you, if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, you ought to run to Jesus. He's the only shepherd that is accepted and approved and authorized by God. And he's the only shepherd that was afflicted by God. He's the only shepherd that deserves your allegiance. If you'd come to him, he'd save you. If you are saved, you ought to serve him. You ought to do your best to please him because he's such a good shepherd. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for the Word of God, the the strength of the Scriptures that cannot be broken. Thank you, Lord, for the offering of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary in our place that we could be saved. Father, I pray work in this invitation according to thy perfect will. Get the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you're out here this morning and maybe you're a sheep, you've wandered away from the shepherd. For whatever the reason, your eyes caught a glimpse of the glitter of this world. You wandered away from the shepherd. I'm telling you, he gave his life to get you the first time. He's calling for you today. He's coming for you. Would you come to him while we sing? Page 41. Just obey the Lord. Do what he says.